This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This program is produced on Wurundjeri country. This is The Sound of Now on Joy 94.9.
Oh, welcome in. It is so good to have you here. My name is Triana Butler. This is The Sound of Now's special podcast edition. This is the kind of version where we get to play the full extended versions of conversations that you've heard on the radio show. Now, this week, I got the chance to sit down with Maisie Peters, a total superstar out of the UK, and also just played the biggest gig that has ever been seen in Australian history. It's like 108,000 people at the MCG across two nights. It was like 108,000 and then 110,000 the next night. It's part of that huge Ed Sheeran tour. It was Ed Sheeran and it was Bujara and it was Maisie Peters, Ed Sheeran's very good mate. Brilliant to chat with her. She also just played a sold-out headline show herself about 200 metres down the road from here in the Joy Studios. So had to get her in to chat about it. Here is my extended chat with Maisie Peters. Oh, I'm so pleased to have you in the studio. We've got a bunch of your songs across the Joy playlist. Tracks like Blonde, like John Hughes' movie, and of course the new one, Body Better. Maisie Peters, welcome to Joy.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Now, I want to start this conversation, you know, two things. First of all, obviously you're in the middle of an exhausting tour. How did you describe it on the way in?
Oh, I said I was in my my death spiral. Yes, I did. I've been in my death spiral. I've been on tour now for like a month and a bit. But the past 2 weeks I've been in Sydney and in Melbourne, and I've been just like a lot of shows, a lot of promo, a lot of things, which has been so fun. But I was looking at my schedule when I began the tour thinking I'm going to die in those 2 weeks. And luckily I am still alive.
We're glad you're alive.
But I'm literally emerging like a butterfly from my death spiral.
Averted.
Well, as soon as I get to Adelaide.
This is what I wanted to talk about. Because, you know, first of all, obviously it is exhausting doing a tour like this. But also, in the other hand, I want to hold the fact that your new album, The Good Witch, is coming up soon. And as a practitioner of the craft, I went down to our local witchcraft emporium, picked this up for you. This is a protection spell.
Oh, thank you.
If you would like that.
I would love that. That's so cool. No one's ever given me one of these before.
Well, there you go. I think there's little instructions in the little scroll there.
That's so cool. Thank you. Where's the local witchcraft store?
It's just in the city.
Wow.
I'll give you the details later.
Definitely be visiting. Yeah, I would love that. That's so sweet. Thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure. I figure because, you know, seeing these photos and videos of the crowds at your shows who've been sharing so much energy with you, it looks so chaotic. How are you feeling? First of all, let's talk about the big headline shows that you've been doing around Australia. What's the crowd been like there? I've seen some videos. It's looked wild.
Yeah, I mean, they've been crazy. I played in Melbourne last night, the night before, at the Prince, and I played at the Metro in Sydney, and it's been so, so cool. I feel very, like, understood by the crowds here and by my fans here, and it feels like people here really understand my music and me, which is really cool. And, yeah, they've just been amazing, like, so loud, so positive and sweet. And like I've seen so many people at multiple shows, which is so cool. I saw some fans outside two nights ago, and one of them had come to the Auckland show as well, and now she was in Melbourne, and she was like, "Come back, so I don't have to keep flying everywhere." And
that's
they're just
a
so
whole
cool.
Nother country.
I know she did a hop, skip, and a jump.
No doubt. I heard that there were fans queuing up for the Melbourne shows from like 8 a.m.
Yes, they had to start a bus, which also was very hot yesterday. So I was worried for them, but yeah, no, it's crazy. Like, I'm so lucky. They're so wonderful.
I've heard of people being desperate to get into the Prince band room. I didn't know they were going to be like camping out at 8 a.m. desperate. That's huge.
I know.
Here's the thing I noticed about the video from the show that obviously I didn't get to go to see. Gutted, right? But you know how sometimes when you get like a whole group of people together and they're all singing the song, no one's exactly in time. So it's kind of this like edges. It's a little bit, if they're singing along, it's when they're singing your songs, it's precise. They are singing every word and they are hitting every second of it.
Oh, 100%. My girls were in the school choir. That's the thing about Miss Venus fan. They were in the school choir. They were in bands. They've done High School Musical and Camp Rock. Like, they know what they're doing. No, they're so, so, good. Like, yeah, it's so funny. Like, you'll hear, like, little harmonies going on. They're keeping time excellently. I can always get them to clap. They'll always, like, be right on the beat. 10 out of 10.
It's actually remarkable. Now, let's go from that, because I know that the support that's been there has been incredible, to these huge shows that you've been with your mate, Ed Sheeran. But of course, Budgera as well.
Yes.
Breaking records at the MCG. This is what, 110,000 people at the show, the second show?
I know.
That's huge. What does it feel like to be part of something? I mean, what I'm seeing from the shows is that they were originally scheduled for much smaller venues. They've gone out to bigger venues. Did you kind of know the kind of support that you had over here before coming over here?
Well, I think with being part of those huge shows with Ed and Berger, the coolest thing for me about, obviously we played the MCG, which is crazy and like really historic, and it was so special and it's so cool to be part of that. And like, to me, my favorite thing about those days was like, obviously it's incredible to play my set and show and do it in front of all those people, but I just loved being part of that moment. Obviously it was like a historic moment for Ed as well. It was his biggest ever show. It's the biggest show in Australia. And it was just so cool to be part of that and like feel that energy when you're in the day during like around that, around the stadium, and just, yeah, know you're being, you're a part of something like that. It's like the coolest thing. So that was my favorite thing.
It's incredible. The support that you have shown for Aussie music as well is something that we don't see from a whole lot of artists who tour. I mean, they see, everyone seems to know The Horses by Darryl Braithwaite. That, yes, seems to be the song that they all go to. But you've gone to Torn by Natalie Imbruglia. You busted out a cover of Scar by Missy Higgins. Mm-hmm. You brought Greta Ray on stage on the Sunday night show. Mm-hmm. Where does this appreciation for Australian music come from?
I just love Australia, and I really love, I've always loved, talking of Torn and Scar, like, I've always loved those songs, Scar especially, which is like, obviously it's huge here, and in the UK it's like a little bit more obscure. I have no idea where I found it, but I listened to it all the time when I was younger. And then with G Ray, she's just like one of my best friends, and we've been friends for years now. And when I found out I was coming to tour here, I was like, well, we absolutely like have to sing together because we've waited our whole lives. So it's been so fun. And we've sang Drive, which is like the coolest song, and my whole band learned it, and it was just like the most fun thing ever. It's like doing karaoke to your favorite song with your favorite artist.
How far before the tour started, though, did you have in mind, let's get Greta in?
Oh, like as soon as I heard I was doing it, like we just texted each other. Like we were on it, and we've always wanted to like tour together and play shows together. And she's actually come to a couple of my shows in like Nashville and a festival in the UK and sang with me. And she sings backing vocals on some songs on my album as well. So like we have a large overlap. So it was a no-brainer.
We're chatting with Maisie Peters, who has a brand new album on the way in June. It is called The Good Witch. First of all, incredible kind of theme and concept for an album. Talk me through where this idea of The Good Witch came from.
It was a title that I had in my head, but I had a lot of other titles too. And then when I was narrowing it down, it was a case of sort of thinking about the words and the themes that felt synonymous with that title. And for me, it was sort of, it felt like those, The Good Witch reflected like power and femininity and danger and magic and like benevolence and also sort of like cruelty in a funny way and sort of like a slightly twisted surrealism to it as well. And all of those words for me really reflected the album that I was making. And I also love the idea that music is kind of like witchcraft and songs are kind of like spells. And I very much believe in like the power of music, and what it does to a room is sort of like that nothing else can do that. And yeah, I think a lot of music to me is sort of willing things into fruition, be that like, you know, a future for yourself or a future for somebody else. It's all about, I think a lot of music is about like manifestation and future thinking. And yeah, I think it makes sense then to call an album The Good Witch if I'm The Good Witch.
Has the songwriting always felt like you're kind of willing things into existence, or is that a more recent kind of development?
Well, I don't think I've ever really deeply thought about it, because to me songwriting is just sort of like a sort of like breathing, like I just sort of do it and as naturally as anything else. But especially with this album, a lot of it felt very like I was manifesting and I was, yeah. So I'm kind of.
kind of. Tell me about the process. I mean, obviously, as you develop as a songwriter and as you grow as a person, the kind of things that you want to talk about and the way that you write songs is going to change and evolve. What has changed between that first project and this new one, The Good Witch?
I think that it is. The Good Witch is sort of it's a natural step, but it's an evolution from my first record. But I would say this album is more reflective of the life I've lived in the past year, definitely. I mean, my first album was a compilation of 20 years of my life, and it was a sort of scattergun of thoughts and ideas and sounds. First album was a scattergun, and this one feels a little bit more focused, and yeah, a little bit more focused on specifics. I also think a lot about, I'm a big Joan Didion fan, and there's a quote somebody says about Joan Didion where they say, like, Joan Didion doesn't waste any bullets. And I feel like that's what I feel about this album.
How many bullets do you reckon you got on this album?
Couple. Depends who you are, though.
Well, that's it. Stay on Maisie's good side and you won't have any bullets coming your way.
Easy.
The song that is out at the moment is Body Better. Mm-hmm. Tell me about where this song came from. It is another of these breakup songs.
Indeed.
Who hurt you?
Who hurt? Oh, God. Not to get into that. This is the first single of the album. It's really a song about, like, heartbreak and vulnerability and insecurity. And it just felt like the right thing to start this campaign off with. It was sort of, it's like a very personal song for me. It was slightly, like, intimidating to think about releasing, which I think is always a good sign. If you're thinking about what you should lead with, maybe it should be something that scares you. But I just think that it's been like a really powerful song to sing live with people, and I think that my audience have really taken to it, which I'm really pleased about.
It's such an interesting thought of leading with something that scares you, taking you into this new era. What is it that scares you?
I think it's definitely scary to release music that feels very personal and about things that you would find difficult to talk about. But that's the thing about music, is that you can avoid that by not talking about it.
But that's the trade, right?
Yeah,
like, if you can write a song and keep it to yourself, you don't have to share it with the world, but you choose to.
That's true. And sometimes I think writing music, the good thing about it is that by the time you're ready to release something, months have gone by and you're in a very different space, which is cool because you get two relationships with the song. You get the relationship you had when you made it, and then the relationship you have when you release it is then really much more about, I find, like, my audience and the people I'm releasing it for and the experience we get to share once it's out.
So at this point, before the album is out, what's your relationship with the songs on the album?
I mean, especially when I was finishing it sort of in November, December, I was so, couldn't see the forest for the trees. I was so deeply within it, which was amazing. It's like such a special feeling. You're so, so, so involved and invested, and everything is so important, and you know them, those songs, like, back to front, inside out, and you're so attuned to them. It's like they're like parts of your body. And then when I finish it, obviously, now, and I still listen to it occasionally, like, just to sort of, you know, refresh myself with what it is, but it's sort of in the it sort of feels like it's in the incubation in process now, and it's slightly further away from me. And when it comes out, like, it gets further and further away from you, which can be difficult. Like, it's sort of, you can sort of mourn the loss of what was, like, so intensely yours and you were, like, so wrapped up in, because as it gets released, it sort of literally does get released, I find, and it's sort of not really, like, it's your baby, but it's not really anymore. It's sort of everybody else's, and it's like, you have to share it. And that can be hard. But I'm excited to share it with other people. And right now it's cool. It's sort of incubating, and I'm watching sort of from behind the glass thinking, good job, baby.
What are you hoping that the rest of the fans, like, are we calling them the coven now? I guess they're the coven.
They can be whatever they want.
What are you hoping that the coven get out of this album? Like, what kind of feeling do you want them to have?
I really don't mind. They can take whatever they want from it. I just really hope that it, like, really becomes part of their lives, like it became part of mine and is still part of mine. And yeah, I hope that it becomes an album. I always think about the person I was and what the album Melodrama did for me when it came out.
Oh, what an incredible album. How can we talk about that for a second?
I know, I'm a huge Lorde fan. And I think I was about 16, 17 when Melodrama came out. And it just feels like it, like when I was 16, 17, it was like, it rocked my whole world and it rocked my friends' worlds. And I went to see Lorde then play Ali Pali in London when someone I was about 17. And it just was this like universe shifter. It felt like it was, and I still can listen to it and feel that age. And I feel like it was just so important for us all. And it still is. And I hope, I guess, that in a way that my second album can be something like that to somebody.
I think it will be.
Oh, thank you.
Special way to put it. All right, the new single is called Body Better, and we're going to play it right now. Maisie Peters, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I've heard that you guys like have played all of my songs, and that's so cool, and it's crazy. Like, that's you guys in Australia, and like that's so cool, so thank you.
We're big fans, and we're thrilled to have you in here. So, yeah, happy tour. Do we say happy tour? Happy end of tour.
Happy end of tour.
Happy surviving the death spiral.
I survived the death spiral, and I'm with Joy. That's actually so fitting. I'm out of the death spiral, and I'm with Joy.
We've come full circle.
Find the full playlist on the Joy website, joy.org.au/thesoundofnow.
Huge thank you to Maisie Peters for hanging out with me today. That is it for this episode. If you've enjoyed it, why don't you chuck us a follow or a subscribe in your podcast app of choice. Doesn't cost anything. It is completely free. And whether you're using Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Pocket Casts or whatever other app you're using, it should be really easy to do. It's free. And you get a little notification every time there's a new episode. If you've enjoyed this as well, don't forget there is a weekly radio show that airs on Monday nights at 6 p.m. on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne and globally across the world on iHeartRadio, on TuneIn, or just the Joy website, joy.org.au. So maybe I'll see you there, yeah? Thanks for listening. I'll catch you real soon.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.